call the meeting to order. 9:06. I don't have any agenda in front of me, but really, it's all about you, Lee.
Do you want my copy?
Nah, it's all right. We've got some here. Somebody likes to slaughter trees anyway.
Can I get one?
Well, that was my last time, real chair.
I thought that we were going to be, I thought you gave them out.
I usually do, yes.
Okay.
I got my copy.
I was just busy with something this morning.
I understand.
It's fine, I can share.
All right, well, we had some questions about Groton. We want to discuss some of that. That's where we were going to go. I wanted to get some advice from Lee. If somebody goes in the drop, if we could start paying them out.
Now, there's an IRS rule against in-service distributions, and it's a qualification requirement, and that comes too close to maybe running afoul of that. I wouldn't recommend that.
They couldn't just start putting it in an IRA and deal with it themselves?
I don't recommend we do that. The IRS has been grappling with that for several years, and they keep going back and forth their position. They're going to come out with regulations in January of 2013 with respect to normal retirement ages and distributions. I would recommend against that.
Okay, then I guess the next step is, we were milling around that maybe we can give them what the market, the money market value was, and can we do something like that? If we're all agreeable with that, I mean.
Sure, no problem with that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, Mike suggested that at least we use that as an indicator and go with something like that at least to.
I think the biggest issue with that is, just to play devil's advocate, I guess, is from an operational standpoint, is picking exactly when the, I don't know, and measuring that interest rate. How you measure that, because, but it's not going to be a huge problem, I don't think.
Well, which money market rate, is that what you're saying? Are you going to follow?
Or you could tie into T-bills or 90-day T-bills that, you know, for the rate that was in effect in the prior quarter.
I mean, from a operational standpoint, I'm just saying, what date, you know, what date, as of what date is it going to be?
Well, from what I see is, after we discuss this, we can propose an ordinance change. We can get it into council to read on the 14th, and their second would be January 4th. So we could draw the line in the sand of January 4th?
The 14th is a workshop. The 21st is our next council meeting.
But the 4th is still the January meeting. I called down to the clerk yesterday.
Yes.
And the 4th, so the change could be as of January 4th. It wouldn't be January 1st, but the 4th, is that acceptable?
Yeah, it is, and I mean, I would think, but Mike's question though is, if we change it on the 4th, how often is it going to change? Is it going to change daily, monthly, yearly? I mean, what are we proposing in this ordinance?
Well.
Why is there a rush? Is there a reason to rush to get this through?
Well, somewhere we got to draw the line, and we'd like to start at the beginning of the year, only so somewhere we can start.
So you're proposing it to stay the same for the whole year, or what are you thinking?
You also kicked around the 2%.
Yeah.
Flat fee, which y'all kicked.
Well, and.
Some plans tie into the FRS rate.
Well, that's pretty high, though.
Well, you know, right now, there was a proposal to go down to 3 last year, which passed, but was vetoed by the governor. I anticipate we're going to see that again this session.
If you tie to their rate, you know, we're going to be above market rate.
Right.
We were trying to get to like a market rate, you know.
Yeah, that's fine. There's a lot of alternatives. But you're right, it has to be very specific.
Is there anyone who does this?
I think timeline is probably ambitious to be trying to do this in 2 weeks. It's kind of a change.
Have you seen it in other cities that don't tie to the FRS rate? Have you seen what they're doing? I mean, I hate to reinvent the wheel. There's a lot of ways we can go on this.
Most have gone with the stated rate of, and still have an alternative at least, of the 6.5, but they're in the process of reducing those. Sometime in that, tie into FRS, some tie into T-bill rates.
Okay, so if we're going to...
The majority out there now are going to 6.5, but they're in the process of changing.
Yeah, but if we go to the T-bill rate, then we need, if it's going to be like the 90-day T-bill rate, then are we going to change it every 90 days, or are we going to change it every year? I mean, that's what I think you got to answer.
Yeah, and that'll be determined by what's in the document.
Yeah.
I think you might go with the T.
What type of burden is that on the calculation? Because that's actuarially determined, yada-da-da-da, and...
Well, I think somewhere we need to start dictating to the actuary instead of letting him dictate to us of what, I mean, it's just number crunching, so let's give him a number and say this is what you need to work.
It could be calculated, you know, every quarter, but I remember right, the calculation and actuarially and the calculation, if any of us were to calculate it, aren't necessarily the same number.
You're probably a good idea to get some input from Foster on this.
Can we just call it the money market rate as of a particular day of the year?
Yeah, I don't think I'd call it the money market rate because there's so many different money market rates.
I was just going to say.
Well, our money market rate, though.
I would call it, you know, like he's suggesting, maybe the Treasury bill rate, you know, and then you got many of those, so you got to pick which one.
Exactly,
you know.
That's the, you could get the what's on the curve, so you get the 3 month, about 3 month T-bills.
The 90 days.
On the curve one.
And then change it every 90 days, change the rate every 90, fix it for 90, or what?
Annually.
Yeah. Annually?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then maybe use the one-year
rate. Treasury.
Yeah, one-year Treasury, that probably would...
It's low. I don't remember, but I mean, it's way...
It's under one now.
It's under one.
See, we've got our money market accounts probably higher. In a lot of cases, our money market rate would be higher than the three-month T-bill. I don't know what it is right now because the curve has been inverted quite a bit, but...
Are you talking about the money market rate we get from SunTrust?
Yes. No, not from SunTrust, but from...
The Fidelity?
Fidelity, right.
Fidelity.
That's the one that's Bank of New York, that the excess pension funds that aren't invested are in that.
Okay.
And that's the money market I'm thinking about we should tie it to, not the SunTrust one.
And we may want to, if we're defining it that way, money market rate on... excess funds invested by our custodian and leave it rather vague. I mean, as far as...
No, the general, I mean, it should be in the general pension
plan.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
A published rate, because if Arnie has got his money in there and he wants to know what that rate is, if we have it on a national... where somebody can go and look and see what it is.
That changes all the time. I mean, it's...
Well, but you pick the one-year Treasury and you set it for a year, or you pick the 90-day and you set it for 90 days.
One-year Treasury as of January 1st,
then you or I or anybody can go see what that rate's going to be or what it is.
Or December 31st.
On a given date. It's published.
That's true. And this would only be on new people entering the drop, is that correct? Or would it be on... people already in the drop?
No, it's only forward thinking.
Yes, that's what I thought.
But somewhere we need to start changing and correcting what's going on.
Well, either way, I'm okay with the money market or the Treasury.
You can't go back and lower the rates on the ones that are already...
Because they've already...
I don't think we can because we've already offered something on the table, and that's what they signed up to.
It's a benefit that they're entitled to.
So if it was 6.5 when they went in, you're saying it has to stay that?
On the existing ones.
I would recommend that. Yeah. Somebody could challenge it, try to reduce that. It's just like benefits that are in effect at the time somebody retires, the benefits they get.
So how long does that last? How long is that money there?
Well, and that's why we're trying to draw this line rapidly, is that we have somebody in our group who's ready to go into the drop, and I told her if she goes in before January, she might get that. She's not staying for the 8 years anyway, but Mindy... But, I mean, she won't stay that long. Her husband's already in a drop with OPD, so...
Well, the drop's for 5 years, right?
No, right now it's 8.
It should be 5.
But we're looking at reducing
that. How do you get to 8?
IRS increased it.
Well, when the IRS, we increased it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because fire is still five, the general was eight.
So this board went from 5 to 8 years?
And police also did.
So is that part of what we're going to draft?
One of the things we want to, yeah, we want to bring it back down to five.
Police looked at it, but they did not move. They're still at five.
Oh, okay.
Police and fire at five.
So what we want to do is we want to move it to five and just say that we're consistent with all city.
Five or three or?
Five.
Is there a five-year treasury?
Yes.
Since the drop is five, is, we're talking about five, do we want to link it to that instead of the 90-day?
So your money goes in during the 5 years and it builds up during the 5 years. And then you start withdrawing it. Do you have to take it all as a lump sum or can you take it?
You can roll it over or you have to take the entire amount, but it can be rolled over or you can get a lump sum.
So when the drop is finished?
You can do both.
You have to take it all out as a lump sum. Okay. But it goes in monthly, right? Mm-hmm. Every pay period, right?
Yeah.
It builds up during the 5 years.
And you get interest every month. So it's kind of common.
So the complications that I see is that different people are going into the drop at different times. So the rate that you're going to set, is it could be...
We already have two people, and we've addressed this. You can either go with the market rate of return for the annual, or you can get 6%. Now there is a fellow that went to market, and we do a special. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, when we get the information from Rose, what the quarterly rate is, or what the quarterly interest is, I send that to Foster. They send something back to me that says, "Okay, this is what the interest is for that quarter," and I adjust.
Does Foster charge us every time we do that?
Yes.
So that's the thing we're trying to get around is all these additional charges all the time.
Right now, Foster charges us for every final calculation because we don't have our own spreadsheet.
Well, even if we have the spreadsheet, they still have to agree to it anyway, right? I mean, you can use the spreadsheet like police does to calculate things, but I mean, the bottom line is when somebody's ready to sign on the dotted line, we still have to get Foster...
We
no.
don't have to, but that's the way it is set up right now, yes.
And that's because
the police department, when they do their calculation, it's Dale's.
They use that spreadsheet and that's it. Done deal.
Done deal.
But the reason for it in this plan is because of the mortality table switch back before your time.
There was
but
an error.
The way it is right now, we don't know if there is an error.
Yeah.
Now, on the credit to the drop account, if somebody takes just the interest, they charge one time for that calculation unless somebody makes a change. They charge multiple times if somebody's tying into the plan.
Can we just disallow people tying into the plan? Because they don't, is that...
Well, this is why I'm trying to go to a payout.
Disallow people from tying into the plan as far as the interest rate is concerned, or as far as the return is concerned.
Yeah.
That's where we need your help, Lee. You know, something that that'll work. What we're trying to do here, that you've seen somewhere else. You know.
Well, what he's saying is he really hasn't seen it, but he knows it's coming down the line. But.
Well, what we have, yeah, I have seen some of these things. What has been prevalent is this an interest rate stated, which is what we have, and also the opportunity to tie into the plan. However, some plans just provide an interest rate and do not offer to tie into what the plan's doing. So that can be taken out. And you could have just
the stated account credited rate.
Within a stated rate or the rate tied into an index.
Okay.
Do we want to have the rate be the same for the entire, I'm going to say 5 years?
Yes.
Because it's
sounds like we do.
And I think it should.
Instead of changing every year, whatever it is, the end of the quarter preceding the person's going into the draft.
Yeah, that rate's published every day. You can go.
Yeah, but it doesn't change daily. That's the thing.
It does change daily.
The 90-day T-bills, they do. They change.
They all change daily.
and they publish it daily.
The last 2 days, the rates really spiked up.
Yeah. And you can get a 30-year rate daily, you know. That's what they're going off of.
Yeah, I don't have the 90-day.
I'm just thinking the calculation piece.
0.6.
And the confirmation of that.
And you need to, whoever calculates it needs to do a screenshot of, a printout of wherever they got the 90-day T-bill or whatever we're all looking at here. To hold that.
Well, what are you recommending, Mr. Chairman? More than just this, you want to bring it back to 5?
I want to bring it to 5. I'm looking at changing vesting, and that's a different discussion, up to 7 or 10. Bless you.
Bless you. But in directing, you're the ones going to share this, right, this ordinance?
Right.
So what we're directing him is an ordinance to bring the vesting back to 5 and a rate fixed.
Well, now bringing the drop back to 5. The vesting I want to move up.
Okay.
For all new hirees. It doesn't affect anyone who's here now. If you were hired last year and you're promised a 5-year vesting, okay, so be it. But that's why I'm trying to draw the line as of a January 1st or January 4th seems to be the number that we can say vesting is now changing to 7 years or 10 years, whatever we collectively agree on, just for the future to start solidifying the plan. I mean, trying to make it a little more solid and a little more stable. I don't have a problem with 2.5, and I mean, if we know that 2 years down the road that there's going to be some litigation changing anyway.
There's another alternative, which I don't recommend. I just mention it so that everything's out on the table, and I clearly don't recommend it from a fiduciary standpoint. It's self-directed drop, which the reasons I don't, and there's very few of those because of the detriment from a fiduciary standpoint. If you did that, you'd have to do what is equivalent to a manager search and determining what you're going to make available for the individuals to put their money into. It would have to be monitored for compliance with your policy and statute in terms of percentages, because what people did would be counted for that purpose. And you'd have to provide education to the members. So that's something that's there, but I sure don't recommend it. I would recommend against it.
Well, I guess what do we need, a motion?
I guess we're having a discussion. Yeah, we need a motion on...
Let me go as far as to disallow members, people going to the drop from having their return tied to the market, or to our return, and having it only tied to 90-day T-bills. I guess that's what the consensus is.
No. It was annual.
It would be. I think every 90. It's 90-day T-bill rate, and every checked every year, and it would change. The interest rate would change every year. By the 90-day T-bills. So, for example, if 90-day T-bills is a half a percent today, and someone wanted to drop today, and then 1 year from now it went up to 1%, they would now be getting the 1% on their money.
I'm confused, but maybe somebody else.
Okay.
And would it be like December 31st, for instance, or the date that they go?
The, good point.
That they elect the drop.
It needs to be on a fiscal year, I think.
December 31st, I think.
No, fiscal year, because that's our plan. You used to be in the operations side.
Our plan is on fiscal year, but yeah. Payroll and that type of, and pension payroll is on a calendar year.
Okay. So that calendar year then, for operational purposes?
That's what I'm thinking is a calendar.
It doesn't really matter.
Okay. It doesn't really matter, but if we're going with this, if we're planning on the ordinance going in January,
well,
yeah.
Let's make it calendar year. And again, we'll say it's
T-bill. So whatever T-bill is at December 31st.
That's what you're going to get for the rest of that year. And then the next year, December 31st, where the T-bill rate is at that point.
It changes, goes up or down, it's whatever, so we're going to use the T-bill at December 31st.
The only difference I would have is if we're going to do a one-year rate, we ought to use the one-year treasury.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And not the 90-day rate.
Yeah.
If you're fixing it for 1 year, give them the one-year rate.
Well, yeah, that's fine.
The one-year treasury.
Because you might get a little bit more percentage for a one-year rate than you do for a 90-day, yeah.
And in reality, the city's going to actually do a little bit better than the T-bill rate, I hope.
We all do.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't in '08, but.
Yeah. But that's what they'll get. And they'll be able to track it, they'll be able to know what it is. If somebody wants to look back historically, they can, you know, it's a published rate.
So you want to refine that motion?
Well, what?
And restate it? How about that?
Restate it, and you catch me if I'm wrong, Glenn, okay. So we're going to look at a one-year treasury rate. And every December 31st, that would change. Okay, and when that, and the new rate would be applied to the following year.
Well, interest will be credited during the one-year period with interest at the rate that was in effect in December 31st of the prior year.
Yes.
Right?
Correct.
Little help got you today, did it?
Sorry?
Little help got you today.
Yeah, exactly. Leave it to the lawyer.
Okay, I'll second that.
All right. All those in agreement?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, Lee.
Wait.
Okay, now we have to do the five-year?
Hold on, wait.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, we were going to roll this all together into one order.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but we can do two separate.
Lee's just making some notes.
We reduce the drop, maximum drop term from 8 years back to 5 years.
Okay. Diane, before we get to that now, let's take the other component of earnings. Are we going to delete the tying into the plan earnings?
That was in his original.
Was that part of the original motion? All right.
So they don't, the person doesn't get a choice, not 2%, not treasury, but they have to take the treasury or they can pull their money out.
Correct.
And that's it.
Or they cannot go into the drop?
Yes, exactly.
Correct.
This is for all future drops.
Right, and we're.
For anyone entering drop on or after the effective date of the ordinance.
Yes.
Right.
Good deal.
Are we going to see if Foster and Foster will give us some kind of spreadsheet to do this calculation? Because if it changes yearly, I could have 20, 25 people in the plan that could run up costs.
Yeah, we're going to bring them in the next meeting. They're going to either start giving us a spreadsheet or we're going to go out and look for another actuary. I'm going to put them on the line that either they afford us the same spreadsheet that they're giving to OPD, or we're going to go out and search, and we'll search for an actuary who can give us a spreadsheet to make your life and our life easier. Paying every time someone wants to, retire seems ridiculous. If we have an actuary report once a year, we should be able to work off of that. And now that we know that we're using a T-bone number, the interest rate at December 31st, I think we should be able to do our own calculations and save a little money there, too.
It would be handy, and I don't have it anymore, didn't have it one time up here, if we all had a copy of the Foster and Foster contract prior to the next meeting.
What they provide from their annual.
How much they.
What they're supposed to do and things and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe this kind of stuff could be rolled into something they provide if we're going to do a search.
Well, I think that we can kind of set some specs of what we're looking for, and either they'll comply or we let them know that we're going out. And they can bid just like anybody else, and we'll just go out and look for a new actuary. So either they can comply and stay, or go out to bid like.
Right.
Does that seem fair? I mean.
Well, I don't want to jump the gun, but I'd rather, based upon their history with this pension plan,
mm-hmm.
I'd say go out for somebody, period. Well, I don't want to get the cart before the horse here, but that's I'm going to jump in and say it since you brought it up. I always get bringing it up myself later on, if I'm still here after I get.
Are you sure the letter that I sent you, as far as the from the what we did on that gives
the
you
letter you did with Rick? Yeah, I asked Alicia to send it on to the actuary and ask them for you know, and that was just you did it Saturday, right?
Yes.
Stop working on Saturdays. What's wrong?
One day.
Okay.
She's dedicated.
Once we get the actuary report out this year.
Yes.
All right, because we have authorized an experience study with them, but since they haven't done it, maybe next meeting is the time to decide if, I guess we have to ask Rose too, but maybe we'll go out for a search for an actuary.
Yeah, that was something we dealt with at, how many board meetings ago was that to authorize that?
Yeah.
They're supposed to be tying that study in with this year's actuarial evaluation. And we're just now at the point to get ready to send them the information to do that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, Arnie Lee would actually help us do the search for actuary, not Rose.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the deal is there something they owe us before we decide to go out for a search?
Yeah.
So I guess we have to time this?
They're supposed to be at our next meeting if our actuary report is done in February.
Have they received that yet? Is it September 30 last year?
No, sir, but my goal is to have that in their hands by Wednesday.
I guess part of this is timing, huh, Lee?
It is.
Given where we are time-wise, maybe a good idea to, especially since the data's ready to go, have them do this next report, get that delivered at our first quarterly meeting next year, and then if decide to make a change, start the process at that point.
I agree.
Well, we've also had them for a number of years. So. Okay. Just like auditors, you know.
But before,
or bankers.
Well, I understand. They've been not free of, I mean, they've been some serious issues with this plan and that actuary. What I've heard is before I even got here, I think. But
what have you heard?
When Diane, do you know about this? I don't want to take on this, but are you familiar with?
Well, I was going to just say one that is blatant, I'm going to have to say, is that mortality table thing.
Yeah, the mortality table thing was a big one. And currently right now they charge us $2,000 a year to use an online spreadsheet to do estimates. I mean, Hope can attest to this. Sometimes we don't know that someone's left and we can't do an estimate based on their termination date. So we're having to add days to their hire date and subtract days from here and add days to their ages. And, you know, if you don't know exactly what you're doing and not paying attention, you could...
How can you do that,
though? ...screw that up. I did some work for...
They've got a start date and a finish date. You got to use those numbers. They're real numbers.
Move all those dates around to get the estimates as they were before. So there's some issues.
So I guess we'll wait until the February meeting and somebody might make a motion that we search for a new actuary.
The police does have a spreadsheet and they're not charged for.
Right.
As much as we are, and
we spend a lot more money than LPD does.
Yeah.
And they have the same actuary?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we're done with this discussion right now. Diane, back to where you were.
Drop. I move that we change the maximum drop participation time from 8 years to 5 years, as it was originally. Go from 8 to 5.
On one?
Drop.
Maximum allowable drop. So it's kind of consistent with the rest of the city employees and fire and police?
So to be consistent with the other city plan.
Here a second.
Yes.
Second.
All right.
I thought we already did.
Aye.
Aye. Now, we discussed it, and then all of a sudden we ran out of time.
Then we got into the actual.
Right. Okay. All right, so Lee, we're directing you to change that piece, please, too.
Okay.
Let's talk about an effective date for all this, because I don't think we're all on the same page. I know you want to do this quickly. I'd rather.
Well, I don't see anything to drag it out. I mean, we're having this meeting. Lee's going to draw up an ordinance, so then we present it to council. They can read it on the, what was that date?
That's going to be awful close, because you have to have it in by the 14th in the agenda item done.
Of December?
Of December, to get on the 21st agenda. You can't do it. I don't think you can do that.
That's what he's trying to say.
Even though it's the 21st, you have to have it, the agenda item done and all the documentation, everything by the 21st.
Well, I could maybe have.
He prepares it, but don't we have to review it?
Well, that's what I was just going to say, Glenn. I could maybe have a draft to you, you know, within, say, next week. But then y'all need time to review it, eyeball it, look at it. We want to be sure it's what we want.
You could probably get it on by the second meeting in January, the second council meeting, and that would give you some more time.
Yeah.
Yeah, because even if you tried the first meeting in January, you get the holidays in there, it's going to be tough.
Well, if that's the case, then we might as well just wait until our first quarterly meeting, because the deal is Lee still charges us to come up here, so we're still generating more cost to the pension plan by trying to expedite.
Well, the only
I have heartburn with that. I mean, not against Lee charging us, but I mean, it's if he comes up to deliver it and then we have another meeting.
Well, with the changes that are coming with the city manager, it would be good to get it done in January if you could get the first and the second reading done. You've got two meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say maybe not by the 21st, but by the first meeting in January, you do your first reading and then the second meeting. Because Rick's on board with this. You have an ally there. We don't know what the changes are going to be in the city manager. Just a suggestion that maybe you do try and push it through in January.
When's his last day going to be?
The 29th, currently.
Of January?
Yes.
Yeah.
What is with the, if Lee got it to Alicia and she had all of us come up separately or sent it to all of us or whatever to give her any changes?
How can that work?
Well, if any one of you wants discussion on any item or any change, it's going to have to come to the board for board action.
Yeah, we have to have a.
You need a final, ultimately, you want a motion from the board to recommend adoption of whatever it's going to turn out to be.
Okay, so we can have like a 5-minute meeting and just request that you be available by phone.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to. So I don't see any need to push it through. I think that's.
I'm trying to bring it since we're going December 31st with the T. I'm trying to bring it as close as we can to the beginning of the calendar.
And I can respect. I realize
that. That's the only reason why I'm trying to do this, because it just aligns all the stars perfectly. You know, it's.
I agree, but at the same time, even if there's that one person that just feels like they're getting. I don't know.
That's why we're having this conversation.
I don't want to have anyone feel like they're being left out or whatever like that. I want to give them plenty of time to go ahead and get into the drop if they want to, and go and let's
well,
go on.
Well, if it's not going to take effect until the ordinance is signed.
Which would be when?
Be the 17th. No, 17th or 18th of January, the first meeting. Yeah.
Mike, I don't think we have that many people that are that close to deciding it.
I agree.
And, you know, word's going to go travel. I mean, all you have to do is open your mouth. And.
But I just think it's
safer. I mean, something like this, too. Like if you were to say something to Mindy, it would travel.
Mm-hmm. I've already told the linemen, so it's traveled. They already know what's going on, what's coming down the path.
I'd rather wait till our March meeting, is it?
February
meeting.
Because you don't know what's going to happen. Anyway. I'm not on the board.
You're not on the board. I know all due respect.
All right.
Like I said, I'm just trying to bring it as close as we can to the beginning of January.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
And we've had Lee do ordinances before, and it's, we pretty much just rubber stamp whatever he does. I mean, he's a professional at this stuff. He knows what he's doing, so I'm not sure what we have to, I mean, if you want to read it, fine.
Absolutely want to read it.
We need to read it. We need to actually vote on accepting it. But I agree with getting it to the January council meetings.
Wait, how long do you really think it'll take you to draw it up? I mean,
I could try to get it to you. Actually, after next week, I'm gone till the end of the year, but I could get you a draft next week.
Before Thursday?
Shoot for that. I'll shoot for it. See, the thing is, I've got to dictate a draft, then I've got to review it before, so there's a process you've got to, you know, go through. It's got to be produced at the office, and then I've got to review it, and so.
But it's a process with yourself, really.
With myself?
Yeah. You have your office draw it up, and then you read it, right? It's all you.
Yeah. It's all me. Yeah.
So, if you say you can get it to us by Thursday, maybe Friday we could have a real quick meeting, and I'm sure we could probably, if we already know we have the ordinance, we can get it on the council agenda. If we do it by the Friday and the paperwork's done, I don't think it's a problem with the clerk getting it on. And I understand, Mike, that, you know, there might be a few stragglers out there.
But there always are.
If they're that close to being pushed over the edge, then...
Well, we have the beginnings of a draft of an ordinance.
Right.
We just have something else we added to it.
What's that, Diane?
This is from the last meeting, the draft with the 8.5% and then the change in the drop period.
So you would add it to this one,
so
or we'd do
it could just
one?
Be,
well, we could do two separate ordinances or one, either way.
One would be the more, you know.
This one's already in.
It's all inclusive to the pension, so.
Has that one already been submitted to the city?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I can do either one. Add it to the one that's pending, or do two separate, and if you... If you're confident that
for all
both...
For purposes, you better just have one. Well,
if you're confident that all in one are going to be met favorably, then fine. Sometimes, the reason you may want to do two sometimes is you're not sure about one of them, then the other...
I'm pretty sure it's just going to be a whole rubber stamp type thing. It's just going to fly through. We see that.
Yeah, I can add it to this one. That would be a problem. Like, my work in doing the drafting is not going to be effective whether we do two ordinances or add it to this one. It's not going to matter. I've changed the title on this one. But
it's only a Word document. How hard is it? Yeah, it's a Word document. How hard can it be?
Well, I have to ask the folks in my office. I think they tell you not very hard, but I don't do that stuff. So
tell them vacation is coming. They want to get it all done.
Yeah, I do have a question on that ordinance that was back last time. There was some language in that first paragraph that talks about city council not being able to change anything.
Yep.
I do know the city had, I didn't know I was speaking with the city manager, there was some concern over that language that's in that first paragraph. I think it said something to the effect that...
Yeah, so if the assumptions aren't subject to city discretion,
yeah.
That's an internal revenue requirement.
Okay.
It's 401A25 in the code.
If you could, all of that, what is that?
Yeah. 401A25 in the code.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Where are we?
The next thing I wanted to discuss was vesting.
Oh, wait. Before we move on, let me go since let's be sure we're all on the same page here. All right, so the action we've taken, we're going to amend the draft to credit interest during a calendar year at the rate of the one-year U.S. Treasury bill rate in effect on December 31 of the prior year.
Correct.
For those entering drop on and after the effective date of the amendment, we're going to delete the earnings option for those entering on and after the effective date.
Correct.
Of the change. And we're going to amend the drop to reduce the maximum participation period from 8 to 5 years.
Okay, now should that one be January 1st, like it's already stated on here, or does it matter?
once it starts, it doesn't matter, but we have a date, just because of when council's meeting, it could become January 4th, if we can get it for that meeting, for the second reading.
Fourth, we can get it to second reading.
No, we can. If he gets it to us by the end of next week.
I actually prefer to put the date, whatever the effective date would be, in here. Now, that would be the date for second reading, so for draft purposes, I can leave it blank, but then we can fill that in before adoption on second reading with whatever that date is, if it's January 17th, or, you know, whatever.
I think it's the 18th.
Or I can put the 18th in anticipation that that's what's gonna happen, and if we change it, we change it.
All right, well, the 18th gives us an extra meeting if we need it. And are you satisfied with?
Well, the 18th will be the second.
No?
I think, I think the board is doing what it thinks is best, but in the long term, it's best to wait 90 days and leave it for the, or let's leave it to at least the February meeting at the minimum. And let the word spread around, let people come and talk to you, to me, what have you, and get educated about this before we start making big changes like this. And I don't think waiting.
Remember, our responsibility is to the plan, not the employees. And I know I stated this last time, that we are responsible to the plan.
Well, actually, our fiduciary responsibility is to the members of the plan.
Well, and the members can be enlightened pretty quick. I mean, we can send out an email. I mean, there's already a website. And if somebody is this close, I don't think 2 weeks or a month is going to matter.
We have a senior management meeting that we could roll this out to next week. We could announce it there. We can put it on the intranet. We can do an email blast.
The email blast is probably somewhat effective, but there are employees that don't have email.
Yeah, but
and as far as it getting passed down, you just have to senior management. The middle managers are your problems, aren't they? From what I've heard from the top has said middle managers have not problems, but they don't always pass information down.
I think we rely on senior management. I do think they do a good job. We roll out many plans at every senior management meeting. That's why we have them. And
the second thing is, until that is not, we shouldn't be relying on anyone else but ourselves. As far as we can't say to city management, say, listen, it's your responsibility to inform the employees on the pension plan, blah blah blah. They do that and they do a good job of that, but I don't know if we should be relying upon that.
We have a list of everyone that is eligible for the drop currently. We can certainly contact each one individually if that's what you guys would like.
I'd be okay with that.
Okay, so you can buy into it if we direct Alicia to print that out, and then we have upper management notify each person who is.
Yes, I can buy into that.
I'm just trying to streamline it. This is what
it's not that big of a deal.
Like I said, it's not that many people.
Okay. That's
I'm just trying to get buy-in, Mike.
Let's do that.
Lee, what do other plans do, just out of curiosity, that are changing their drop rates, for instance, at a point in time?
Essentially make it effective, just what we're talking about, making it effective.
Relying on sand, drop sand, this is it, yeah.
Now, are we concerned about some folks that are eligible to go in now, giving them an opportunity to go in under the more favorable provisions?
I think Mike is concerned that there might be a few, and if that's so, then we're going to let them know that the plan is getting ready to change, and if they want to jump ship now, they have the opportunity. If they wait, if they do it now, beginning of January, versus waiting until February, they're going to miss that window. So we're going to let them all know that it's jump now or...
That's what I read Mike's concern to be.
Yeah.
Okay. And that being the case, keep in mind the process for going into the drop calculations would have to be done, that they would have to have time to review them, and the effective date of drop participation is until 15 days after that's all been completed.
So back to my concern.
Which is, I just wanted to, you know, point that out when we're talking about time frames here.
You can change your effective date. You can still make it go through.
February 1.
But change your effective date of when it takes place.
February 1, maybe.
That work?
Yeah, that'll work.
See, our plan provision is a member's election to participate in drop must be made in writing in a time and manner determined by the board and shall be effective on the first day of the first calendar month, which is at least 15 business days after it's received by the board.
Okay, so if we notify them, they better do it by January 15th and we move the date to February 1st.
I was going to say, even, you know, you can make it go through in January, but you can make your effective date anytime you want, correct?
Right.
So you could give them plenty of time after it goes through.
That's good.
Because, well, in order to go into the drop, you'd have to have 30 years or be age 65. Is it 65? Yeah.
Yeah, and so, I can tell you, we had several people jump in last year when the talk had already came out that we were looking at changing the pension plan. A lot of people already jumped in, so there isn't that many out there.
Like, yeah.
But we would, you know, I'm not on the board, but it would be nice to give them the opportunity to make that decision.
Sure. Yep. I think with Catherine's solution, that solves my concerns. All right, well, I just want total buy-in. That we're all in agreement. You know, if we couldn't satisfy you, I wouldn't want to continue forward. I just want to make sure that we're all in agreement that we're dealing with the people, dealing with the plan properly. We're trying to set this date of the beginning of the calendar year only because it makes a lot of sense for the way we do stuff.
Not to add too much to it, but when we notify these folks, can we have them sign something that they were notified about it? Because I'd like to know that we had everybody.
There's not that many. You can call them into HR.
Yeah, there's not that many.
Sit them down with Hope and say, hey.
Yeah, there is not that many.
Okay. And Hope, you can get them to sign that they were enlightened. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, now what will the effective date be then to
February
accommodate
1st.
This? I heard February 1. Is that it?
February 1st.
Yeah.
But we're still anticipating the second reading on January 18th.
Correct. Just to make up for that 15-day window.
Mm-hmm. Then the agenda item would be due the week prior to the 4th, which would probably be the, what is that, the 20th?
Well, with Lee going on vacation, I'm still pushing them for the end of next week.
Yeah, well, because
you want to get it on the agenda.
Right.
It would be for the 28th, 27th would be the Tuesday prior to the first reading on the 4th, and that's the agenda deadline date that day.
By the end of next week, before you go on vacation, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Now, where were we going? Holy cow.
We need to vote on this?
I thought we did.
Didn't we already vote this?
Yes. You started the vesting.
Right.
Okay.
I wanted to start talking about the vesting of for all new employees that we move vesting from 5 years up to 7 or 10, and that's what I wanted to have some table discussion about, what you all thought. And the reason is I've seen that we, in the electric department and substation, we have hired some relay techs, some knowledgeable relay techs, because there's an opening. And I've seen it happen already 3 times now. We've hired someone at a higher rate, and he stays for 5, and then he leaves. So he stays just till he's vested. And I don't think this helps the plan, because they're at higher rates. I mean, so my thoughts are somewhere, let's change this. I mean, when I got hired, it was 10 year, and then they moved it down to 7. And
no, it was
10 to
5. 10 to 5, yeah.
When the plan was restructured.
So... any thoughts on that?
I thought when we changed it initially, we did it to be competitive with the private sector so you could attract those kind of people. That was the real reason.
Well, I think the competition now is we have pension plans, which other people don't. I mean, you know, we have some more stable employment history. If you come to work for the city, you know, it's...
What's the state requirement these days?
FRS is six. Most municipal plans are still 10.
Well,
What does it do to the actuarial assumptions, if anything?
Shouldn't improve.
There would be, we need an impact, there would be an impact. Obviously, if the longer the vesting period, because that determines somebody when they're eligible to draw something out of the plan other than just their contribution. So if we had 10-year vesting and somebody left short of 10 years, they'd be entitled to return their contribution and the monies that have been accumulated towards their benefit is an actuarial gain to the plan.
To the plan, right. So it's better for the plan, I think.
All right, may I add something?
Sure.
The letter we sent out was a letter, I guess all of y'all have seen that letter, it's a letter that we actually, the city went to an actuary and had them look at each one of the pension plan's actuarial reports, you know, for validity and make sure that they're concrete. I don't know if you've read that letter, though, but the letter actually states in that letter that the City of Ocala General Pension Plan is one of the worst funded pension plans in the state, basically, based on the actuarial's opinion. So I do appreciate the idea of you guys looking at this in consultation with the consultant we had looking at these plans, basically told us we'll never fund our way out of this. The city meets its ARC every year by funding what's required every year, but the actuary told us that there's no way the city could ever fund their way out of this. We went from funding at about 96% in 10 years ago, so we're at about 45% funding ratio right now because we've increased the benefits, which have increased the liabilities, and the ratio is the plan's assets over the plan's liabilities. And so we can never continue to, the city can never continue to fund its way out of this 45% funding. So I do appreciate the board looking at the benefits and cutting those and the vesting and moving some of these benefits, because we can't, it's got to be a kind of a two-prong approach as far as the benefits that seems like over the years may have got out of control. And now, you know, the city cannot just dump in $10 million into the plan, but we are meeting our ARC every year as far as what the actuarial will say. So it all kind of ties in together, but I do appreciate the, you know, board actually looking.
I think this whole early retirement hurt us a little bit, too.
Right, from the city's perspective, I do appreciate the board looking at these benefits, because it will hopefully, maybe the impact of this may help increase our ratio of the funding and may put us in a little bit better position. I can provide that. I've actually, this afternoon when we have our pension committee meeting, I'll provide a funding trend of how the general pension plan and the fire and the police have all trended downward due to basically increases in the benefits over the years.
Yeah, I'd like to see that letter. That was before my time.
It's been sent to the chairman of the board. He's got a copy of it.
It was sent to me, and I'm waiting for actuary response before I make a response. But you're more than welcome to read it, Mike. I have a copy at my desk, but
I can read it to everyone.
You can read it.
Why don't you do that, Alicia? So we don't have to try to read it here.
So what I want to discuss is changing vesting back up a little bit. I just wanted to have some table discussion about that. Well, I've told you some of the reasoning behind it and what we can do. Yelly.
The reason to reduce vesting is if you believe it would be equivalent to this assistance with recruiting.
Right.
If not, it's beneficial to have a longer vesting period because of the potential for actuarial gains.
Well,
and philosophically, generally, I mean, the reason for these plans is recruitment and retention, but it serves the retention.
But the retention,
you don't want to reward people
right.
for short service, generally. You want to reward people for longer service.
Right.
So. Yeah, but some of the more complex jobs, it takes more than, by 5 years, you're really just getting into it.
Absolutely.
And fully trained, basically. And that would be the electric, water, and sewer anywhere.
Even finance. I mean, to learn what's going on up there. I mean, you know, somebody
and
sticks around for
really
5 years, they're not really up to full speed before they're enjoying the... And I think the pension is a benefit that is certainly a recruitment tool. I mean, there aren't a lot of companies out there now that are offering good pensions and stable jobs and, you know, health benefits. And I don't think that right now, the way the economy is, that we need five-year vesting to entice people to come to work for the city.
Yeah, the only issue I have with that is that's, think about this, if you're making $50,000 a year, you're paying 8% of your salary into the plan, and you get those contributions back, but you don't get any return on that money. And that's the problem that I have with the whole thing. So it's like investing investing your $4,000 a year, and you get back your money, but you don't get back any return on that money. And that's what I have a philosophical problem with.
Well, if you had invested it yourself in the market over the last 5 years, you'd be getting about half of that. So you're ahead of the game, just that you got your money back.
But this is a difficult, this is a hard case. I see what you're saying. But you're taking a specific date and time, 5 years, and saying, okay, this will happen all the time. And that's not a really valid argument.
That gives you the impetus to stay the 10. If you're really concerned about the earnings.
Exactly right.
But if you have people that just want to stay here as a stepping stone, that's really not what we want anymore. It really isn't. And if you read more and more, people are bouncing around to get higher income. They're not really looking for the benefits. And I don't think that we want to be a stepping stone, a training ground, which I've seen that too. And the time I've been here, that people get trained. We've had it in telecom, and they leave to go make more money. So after we've trained them, they're gone.
I hear that coming from electric a lot.
We do. We have a lot of people, once they become, you know, a journeyman, a lineman, they're gone. And we've had one or two that have come back. And I'll tell you what, they've been humble as crap when they come back because they realize what they left. And, you know, then if they come back, I think we should throw to them, you know, 7 or 10 years till you're vested. I mean, you know what you lost. Now you're coming back. I don't think we need it as a recruitment tool. I really don't think the 5 years is necessary.
Again, though, that's 5 years or 10 years that they're, if they left right before that 10 years, they could have been earning.
If they left, it was their choice, and that probably they should have waited out.
We've seen that with the 5 years.
Can't you buy back in? Isn't there a provision to get back? I mean, so that takes care of that.
Is it 1 year or something?
If you come, I believe if you come back within a year, I'd have to check, but I believe if you come back within the year, over that, you...
Mike, I watched a hothead at 40 years and 9 months quit.
Wow.
3 months shy. And to me, if you're going to be a hothead, you can't figure this out. If it were me, I would have sucked it up for 3 more months just to get vested. So if somebody comes and they don't want to stay for the full 10, that's something upon themselves to decide.
A provision for somebody that terminates is if they terminate less than 5 years and they leave their money in the plan.
Right.
And if they're reemployed within 5 years, then their new time would bridge to their old time. If they withdraw their contributions from the fund and are reemployed, they have 90 days to repay the money plus interest into the plan. And to get some or all of their prior time. If they go beyond 90 days, then they have buyback opportunity, but it's an actuarially calculated amount, which is more expensive.
So that really addresses Mike's concern. It should. If they can come back, even up to 5 years, seems like...
So you're saying, what you're saying with that is, if you leave before... 10 years, we don't care about what you've lost out on your earnings, what you could have earned in the market.
Well, you're making that statement. We're not saying care.
That's what I'm saying.
Just a cost of
care is bad.
It's a part of doing business. I mean, if you want to leave before you're vested, I hope that's something you thought out before you decided to go.
I left a. I'll give you an example. You ever heard of Cliff Vesting? I left a job. I had been there not quite 5 years. You didn't fully vest under this cliff vesting until you stayed 5 years. So you lost it all. Anything that the employer had put in. Yeah. Not what I had put in, but what So, you know, it's an employee making a decision if they want to leave, you know. It's a cost of leaving, you know.
I agree.
And some are very penalty oriented, like the cliff vesting program. Ours, you're going to not have any earnings, but, you know, you at least you're getting all of your contributions back. You just didn't get anything on, which is a cost. But it's a cost of that employee making a decision to leave for whatever reason they did. You know, this is really more about you guys, you know, because it doesn't affect Diana anymore.
Absolutely not. I understand.
Well, it doesn't affect us either. But I mean, it affects people coming into the plan.
Well, it's for future employees, and I'm just trying to set a line that future employees know that if they want to be vested, they have to stay for 7 or 10. That's the number I'm trying to throw on the table here to see if you have some buy-in to that we could discuss it. And
okay, Mike, you have not been here long enough to see any changes in the plan. Over the years, there have been numerous changes in the plan, and it seems like every time they get better. Mm-hmm. So you have person A who retired in August, and there's plan changes coming in October. I mean, generally, it's floating around in the wind, and you hear about it. But there are some people that have been going to leave or going to drop or whatever right before when it's just about finalized. That we've actually said, don't do it yet. Wait a week, you know. But then you hear, oh, we'll use Doris as an example, you know, because she saw a lot of it. From the person that left a couple of months before, oh, gee, you know, you're going to have that.
I'm surprised to hear, really, that there aren't more cities that didn't have lesser years than 10 years, but you're saying your experience in the plans you work with, most of them kept it at a 10-year vesting.
Well, ones we represent 170, as you know, and we're pretty knowledgeable about the other, whatever, two or 250 that we don't represent, but the majority are still 10-year vesting.
I wouldn't guess that.
Now, what typically happens, though, when FRS makes a reduction, which they did to 6 several years ago, oftentimes the municipal plans will change to coincide with that at that point. But still, the majority is 10. Also, with respect to vesting, I'd recommend that if you're going to change it, that you consider changing the period required to vest to a non-line-of-duty disability benefit to coincide with that. It's currently, that's 5 as well, to be entitled to be considered for non-line disability. So if you would go to 7 or 10, I'd recommend that you do the same thing for the non-line entitlement.
Do you think the FRS is going to change this year with anything you've seen?
I think they'll
change it from 6. They're going to bump up from 6.
Oh, on the vesting?
Yeah.
Don't know. I haven't seen much about the vesting. I'm quite confident they're going to propose to reduce the drop interest rate again this year.
And we're talking for new hires for the vesting.
Yes.
We're not talking for anybody
who's
here now.
Anybody
all this for those employed after February 1st.
After February 1st is what I'm trying to do.
I mean, unless you could find a way to pay them something on their money, some return of some sort when they leave, I can buy into that. But then that complicates things. But an annualized rate of some sort.
Some plans credit interest on return of member contributions. Again, the majority do not, but some do.
The ones that do, how do they handle it? Is there a stated rate?
Would the board be amenable to giving them a 1% annualized return on the money? About 1%, because you don't want to be going back and tying it to 90-day T-bills or whatever.
I have no problem with 1%.
Now, are you saying 1% on the total or 1% per year, and you somebody has to know how much was contributed every year?
You have to go back and look at your contributions over the course of that year and give them 1% based upon...
On the midpoint.
I'm sorry, the midpoint, yes. That's a good point.
Or do we look at...
The midpoint each year, though. So, for example, if I'm here for 5 years and I leave, the first year, let's say I put in $2,000 for the first year, take half of that, it's $1,000, right? And apply 1% to that. That's for that first year. The second year, I put in another $2,000 and give them same 1% on $1,000, because that's the midpoint.
Just think now, anything that you come up with, any ideas that we come up with that the board approves, you know, has to be written into an ordinance, it has to be understood, and it has to be calculated.
It has to be able to be calculated. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, is there anything that you have, Alicia, that gives the employees contributions each year that is going to be here from now until eternity, basically?
How could you not have that? That would be in the city system, right?
Change systems. What happens?
You need to decide, too. Are you going to credit, if you do credit interest, is it going to be just during the period of employment? Or if they terminate and leave the money in, will the interest continue to accrue?
One other thing, too, is the idea of going from 5 to 10 is to reduce the liability. You'd have to kind of calculate what is the offset of that by adding in the interest rate. Are you really reducing liability? What the goal is to try to, you know, strengthen the funding of that plan. So, you know, an impact statement as far as if you decreased a benefit by increasing the vesting from 5 to 10 and you kick back, you add a kicker back in there for a certain percentage, is that really affect reducing the liability of what the idea of changing it for?
It's only for new hires. I mean, they are coming in eyes wide open. You're letting them know the vesting right up front. So it's a decision that they make when they take the position.
And then people already in the program right now, you know, you're not going to add that into people who are already currently in the program. So there would be a little bit of an inequity between, you know, additional people getting money on the return, or you wouldn't, for current employees, you wouldn't be doing that.
So, Mike, what if you want to take the new employees and stop the contribution? Don't give them the COLA, don't give them the increased multiplier, so they don't make that contribution. So it's somebody who's starting new, doesn't have the same benefits. Mm-hmm. Their vesting time is longer. I mean, are you okay with something like that?
I mean, you're really changing things a lot, but I'm okay with that.
I understand.
So you're saying they're not paying any money into the plan whatsoever?
Correct.
Well, now you're talking about a tiered plan. Two different tiers of benefits. Yeah.
That's an option for them where if they're not paying any money into the plan, I'm not talking about that.
If we start getting these kind of items, we're talking about more than next week.
I understand that. I've always been taught to try to get total buy-in before you move something.
Arnie, you're not going to hurt my feelings if there's not total buy-in. I mean, because I appreciate that. Total buy-in's great, but it's not going to hurt my feelings, and sometimes you just can't do it. That's the bottom line, so... And if we had total buy-in every single time, we're probably not doing our jobs.
Well, it takes a while to get it, for sure.
But
it's called groupthink.
Well, let me just mention too, so
all this interest on the contribution refunds. And if you know what, up front, I mean, that's what we have now. I mean, the 5 year, just extend it to the 10 year.
Well, I'm not even comfortable with the 5 year. I mean, I was on a fire plan. I was never comfortable with the fact that they're paying 10% of their income into this plan, and there's a possibility they can never get returns on that 10%.
Yeah, but you're still forcing them to save something. If they get up and leave, they still have something.
Absolutely.
So we're thinking for them.
That's a good thing.
Okay,
I agree with that.
And I think the point was made, if it was invested, they'd probably be leaving with half.
Yeah.
Versus all of it.
But again, my point would be that you're taking a 5 year period here where it was a tough case.
Yeah.
I mean, bad cases make bad rules.
I think before the board can make a decision, when we're talking about these funding items, you need an actuarial cost estimate of what are we going to save on the vesting, what is it going to cost us to credit interest on contributions. I think you need to have that information before you move forward on these kind of items. Also, procedurally, we will need to have in the mail, that's it, just in the mail, prior to second reading on January 17th, copy of the ordinance and the actuarial analysis. So our actuary is going to have to do the analysis.
Yeah, we don't even know if that's possible until somebody contacts the actuary. We don't know what their schedule is like.
I was just trying to get all one ordinance, do it all at once, but...
It's not going to happen.
Okay, so we'll leave the vesting out in February.
Well, I think, you know, we can do it all in one ordinance, but with the actuarial studies and the costs, it would just, certainly that wouldn't be happening to be effective February 1st.
Let's change the vesting discussion February when we decide if the actuary is going to give us the report when it's due, and if not, we're going to go out for a new actuary anyway, and we're going to do an experience study, and then we can throw this all in at once.
I think one of the things on the vesting is being a separate ordinance would be okay, because I think you guys are right on with the vesting being a recruitment tool. So I think maybe separating that in a separate ordinance so that city council can look at that as a separate tool, because that does affect the city as far as recruitment and that type of stuff. The other one, you're really kind of, you know, just looking at the benefits of the plan, but the recruiting tool, that might be something that the city may want to, the council may want to consider separately because of being a recruiting tool for the city.
And that's what I've thought about that, and you put it into good words. It's like, this is, yeah, it's our decision, but it's not our decision. It's also the city's decision. It is a recruitment tool, I think. So they need to have some input into this as well. I mean,
and I think he's dead on with the impact. If you're going to try to add something back to it, you'd already like to see what you're getting out of it by some type of calculation.
All right, so we're just going to table this to our next regular quarterly meeting.
Okay, can we have Foster and Foster do something up on it so we know what we're...
Yeah, so we'll make a good decision. What benefit, what costs can be?
Well, they're already crunching numbers that they're due for the February meeting, so I don't know how much more it would cost or burden them to...
Because it's better to let them know prior than to hear them whining here. You know what I'm saying?
Well, why don't you make that motion?
I move that we... either Arnie or Alicia contact Foster and Foster to request some numbers on 7 and 10 year vesting, and then contribution refunds if we were to be paying interest or not. What impact that would have.
To be specific about the rate that we would pay, they're going to need that.
And I think 1% was waved around already once. So.
I second that.
All right. All those for it?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Alicia and I will call Foster and Foster and ask them how that affects the plan.
That would be
investing for 7 or 10. All right, let's move on. Lee?
Then we'd be able to talk about
retirement disability.
Yeah, what did we want to talk about on that item? I wasn't sure what we wanted to talk about on that.
Frank Baker. You left me his packet of information at the last meeting. We didn't get time to do anything on that.
Oh, the pending claims.
Yes.
You're referring to. Okay, bigger claim. Yeah. Well, it's a matter of scheduling. There's an agenda item for him and notice.
Okay.
Him.
So we need to notice him. He's turned into all of his work.
Well, we need to be sure we have all his medical records, which we'll do. And I don't know.
I think that's what you gave.
I don't know if we got the IME report on that yet.
Okay.
don't think so. We'll see. Anyhow, we're moving along with it. The last thing, once we get the IME report, then we'll schedule the meeting.
At the last meeting, we extended the 90-day. Do we need to do that again?
We only, if we extend any further, then we'd have to have an agreement with them. The board has an opportunity on its own action, which is what it did, to extend 90 days. So when's that 90 days?
How long do we extend it for, 90 days?
Extended it in November, 90 days. By February, that would be up.
That's when it falls, yeah. So hopefully, we'll have the IME report back by then, can have a meeting on it. Okay, yeah, I didn't know if that was referring to paper, that item, that's all about there.
Is this a disability claim coming before this board that we have to make a decision about whether he's entitled to it?
Right.
And you're saying that you're accumulating the medical information at this time?
Yeah, our process, right. Get all the medical records and send them for an independent medical examination. And when the report comes back, then we'll have the meeting to discuss what we've got to that point and whether or not there's enough there to grant the claim or not.
Okay, do you feel like we'll be able to do that at the regular meeting in February? No.
It might have to be before that because we just granted a 90-day extension.
So we might have.
Yeah, unless he agrees to an extension. So we'll know better once we get a little closer and what it's looking like. Normally, as a minimum, if we do it that well, because then we have the police meeting right after. It's really the timing situation.
So he comes in to the meeting?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then who presents it? Do you present it?
I'll go through. I'll present the law, the procedures, the plan provisions, and then he'll, under our rules, this is the initial hearing procedure right now, which is designed to be informal discussion type format. If he would not be granted the benefit at the conclusion of the initial hearing procedure, then he would have an opportunity to ask the board within 90 days of the order to consider it further in a full formal hearing process, which he'd have an opportunity to present additional evidence.
So, may need to be a special meeting.
Yeah, no, that's what
you're
saying.
Well, that should be, and most often, this as a minimum, because we're dealing with medical records, even if we could fit it in the morning of our next meeting, I would recommend we have two separate agendas, do the business meeting separate from the disability so we don't have a lot of people sitting around the room,
gotcha,
you know, listening to medical records.
Gotcha. All right.
Okay, well, good. Now, I saw that item there. I thought, well, we'll talk about disability. I was thinking maybe the general plan provision, but okay, let's see. Then the other item that we have is, okay, now, wait a minute, just so we're clear now, we're moving forward on the drop amendments we talked about, correct? I mean, we're still on the,
yes,
going to be a next week schedule,
correct,
on that, and
yes,
the February 1st effective date, everything we talked,
right,
about. Okay. And we will still need an actuarial analysis. It'll probably just be a letter of no impact on these items that we have so far, but we'll have to be sure we have that from Foster before January 18th. So that it can be put in the mail with the ordinance to the division.
All right. What this impacts the plan.
Yeah, or no impact.
Yeah.
Which these items, I
think, anything, I think it's going to help the plan.
Let's see, the changing to the RP 2000 mortality table here, which is what we did. He didn't use that last year, so he would, for this purpose, he'll probably show an impact, do an impact to that, which he presented to us already, but that would need an impact. So, in any event, we just need that so we get it in the mail before January 18th.
I just wanted, within the thing from last time,
now,
January 1st, on it.
The other items that are the only other, the item that I have that's going to need board action today is whether or not the board wants to file with the IRS for issuance of a favorable determination letter. We talked about this previously in some detail. I sent a memorandum on it, which essentially highlighted our discussion. And I'll just mention a few items so they're in your mind as you take action on it today, a few key items with respect to this. First, we're not required to have a favorable determination letter from the IRS in order to be treated to be as a qualified plan and enjoy the tax benefits, which are pre-tax member contributions, our members don't pay annual income tax as the value of the accrued benefits increase, and we don't pay tax on the earnings in our plan. The very few public sector plans, going back to Florida, you can go back decades, have not filed for favorable termination letters because, number one, not required, number two, save the expense, number three, the IRS hasn't had interest in public sector plans in terms of examinations and audits of the plans. Some of this is by way of review, we mentioned it before, but a couple of years ago they told us attorneys do what I do nationwide, they're going to become interested in public sector plans, and started last year with a pilot project where they issued plan surveys, public pension plan surveys, to a limited number of plans, 20 plans nationwide. They said they were going to issue to 200 more by the end of the year. That didn't happen, and earlier this year they told us they were abandoning the survey project in favor of this initiative, which is to encourage public sector plans to file for a favorable determination letter as part of cycle E filing, which means it would have to be filed by January 31st of 2011. Unfortunately, we have very little information to go on for you in making the decision which way to go, because they haven't really been very candid in answering some of the questions, first and foremost of which when we met with them in June was, well, if we don't get a favorable determination letter and we're subsequently audited, what's the downside of that? And their response, I think I mentioned this to you, was simply somewhat of a cryptic remark, which is, well, we may look more favorably upon you if we review your plan pursuant to your request for determination as opposed to us initiating an audit. The implication there being we may take issue with more items, maybe bigger checks to write to us, those kinds of things. They say they're doing this so they can be of better assistance and provide guidance for public sector plans, and generally that kind of brings, looks like yours right now, Arnie, on that. We think at least one reason certainly is bring money into the treasure.
Right. That's what it sounds like.
In addition to that, there are, and you all may be aware of this, there, as I've had these discussions around the state, they're auditing more cities than they ever have before. And in each case I'm aware of where there's been a city audit, and they're very picking up, you know, just minute kind of stuff. But in each case I'm aware of, it's ended up in the cities writing checks to the treasury. So, as fiduciaries, need to make a decision by motion either to file for it or not to file for it, and the reason, either way, we don't like this. This is no time to be imposing additional expenses on these plans. IRS acknowledges that, but nonetheless, they say we're moving forward. Also, there's a significant problem with the program, which they also acknowledge, and that is the fact that there is inconsistency of terms of what the experience will be depending upon who your examiner is. You could have the same submission go to one examiner and get a letter fairly quickly. You can have it go to another examiner and you may be still going back and forth in over a two-year period or more. They acknowledge that as well, but they say meanwhile we'll move forward. So, what we know at this point is if we file, it's going to be expense. It's going to be with filing fees and professional fees. I don't think it'd be less spending than $10,000. Could be $15,000 or $20,000. All we can do is, and again, that's going to vary with who we would get. So that's what we do know. There will be expense if we decide to file. The ideal situation would be is if we don't go to the expense of filing and we don't get audited, which is what the situation has always been for public sector plans. If we don't file in this cycle, there's a cycle C coming up, which would require filing by January 31st, 2013, but again, for governmental sector plans. So if we choose not to file this time, a year and a half or so from now, we'll have the discussion again. We would have the benefit then of seeing what other plans' experiences have been that have filed or have not filed. I can tell you a majority of the plans are determining to not file.
Have you worked with any cities that have been audited?
By audit, no. Do you mean pension or do you mean everything?
No, just pension audit.
Okay.
No, we've got governmental plans have not, the largest thing gone through pension audits. That's why I say this is something that's new. And so we don't have much experience to draw.
I'm thinking why incur the cost.
Why do we have to take any action is what I don't understand. Why?
Because as fiduciaries, it's there.
Been presented to us, we have to discuss it, yeah.
But hasn't it always been there? I mean, so why do we...
No, the initiative has not been there. What has always been there is they haven't been interested in public sector plans. They've had the legal ability to audit public sector plans, but they haven't been doing it.
Yeah, but as this board, why do we have to say yes or no? Why can't we just take no action? Why do we have to...
Because it's a requirement. Yeah, it's an administrative factor that it's your decision to be made. You've got to decide to do it or not to do it.
With the other, all the other stuff we have going on for January...
Well, that's the thing. I don't think that we could get it all together by January 31st anyway. And then I look at the fees that we have to incur for it.
Well, we could get it done by January 31st, but...
Well, what if 170 plans a year?
Most plans have not done it because of the fees. Well, most of our plans, most plans are not doing it.
Well, the thing is, once we do it, are we done? We don't ever have to do it again?
No. No, yeah, no. No, you're not done.
Right.
And that's a common question because...
Just raise a flag, here we are, you need to check with us yearly now.
Letter's not good for...
This really is basically a way for them to scare some money.
Anytime you file...
That's what this really boils down to.
You know, I...
Because it doesn't guarantee you anything going forward.
That's a generator.
I mean, that's what it looks like to me.
I think they want to put money into the federal coffers. By virtue of this initiative for public sector plans and the fact that more cities are being audited than really haven't been before.
I move that we do not do this at this time.
The reason being?
The expense.
The expense, and I think that we would have to also review things before they're sent in. And I don't think there's the time to do it.
Well, there is time, Diane, because we're doing them now, so there is time.
Without another special meeting.
But there is expense.
And given that...
Due to expense.
Expense, but also given that the plan is, you know, down so much, we're now trying to catch up. The IRS, this is a bad time. I mean, I just want to make up some...
State that as your reason why, and...
Yeah.
Well, and then we are talking about changes to the plan.
And you're not guaranteeing us any kind of comfort level, it sounds like.
He can't guarantee anything, he's just...
Not you, but I mean, the IRS isn't guaranteeing us any kind of comfort.
No, and one letter is not for a lifetime. Plans change, federal law changes.
Right.
And until you can provide us with some comfort, then I'm not going to sign on.
Well, due to the expense, and we are looking at some plan changes.
Right, okay.
To be effective early next year.
You know, now, if it were required, there's nothing to talk about.
Right.
You know.
We have an option here, so... Wait a second. All those four?
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
Good deal. Yeah, it was. So we're done with...
Relate one anecdote to you. I was in a city about a month ago, and we had this discussion, and there was a community member of the board who was in financial services business, and he made the motion to not file, and he stated expense, and then he had a sort of a laundry list of other reasons, some of which were... Anyway, they televise meetings here. And I thought to myself, man, I hope there's nobody from the IRS watching this. He's going to get audited, we're going to get audited.
Right, yeah. Has everybody read the minutes? Can we accept the minutes the way they are?
I'm going to abstain. I wasn't here for those meetings, so I'm not going to...
I wasn't either.
Good.
So I don't feel...
But in reading the ones, in reading it, they sound reasonable to me.
Okay.
So. I'll make a motion to accept it.
We accept the minutes the way they are. Everybody's...
I'll second the motion.
All right. Mike, you want to abstain or just...
Yeah, I'm abstaining. I can't because I wasn't here for that meeting, so I can't.
Come on. Three of us can do it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good deal. All right, Alicia.
Like I said, I'm facing my end.
I know, you wanted to go. Expenses? What did we want to discuss with expenses? The stuff I signed off?
Mm-hmm.
No big deal then?
No big deal.
You're like,
okay.
I do have a question for Lee about the Wellington. I know there's been some emails going back and forth.
I didn't get any of the documents until last week,
yeah.
And I haven't even been able to look
okay.
But they didn't get any of Wellington and Brown. They didn't send any, I didn't get anything until last week,
and you'll
so that won't be after the first of the year.
Okay.
So one of us for the...
Well, I'll review them, and I'll see. I generally try to do, negotiate a side agreement with them, and then that goes them. It's a process to run over a month or two.
So I'm assuming unless anything pops up with this disability, then we will see each other in February, right? Motion to adjourn? All right.
Merry Christmas, happy...
Merry Christmas, happy New Year, everyone.
Happy holidays, that'd be correct now, right?
See, I'm just trying to calculate here. This meeting, let's see, we've been here a little over an hour and a half. Our last meeting was 4.5 hours, and this was a continuation. This may be the longest board meeting I've ever attended.